Always good to be with you all. I enjoyed that new song. Somehow I feel like it fits well with what we're going to talk about today. Not sure that I know exactly how to explain that yet, because that was a new one for me. But anyhow, I feel like it fits well. Please grab your Bibles. We're going to be continuing our journey into 1 Peter. We started last week, this letter written by Jesus' fireball, Peter. He is bold, he is courageous, he is always the first one to jump out of the boat and the first one to stick his foot in his mouth and the first one to do just about everything because he's just kind of a natural leader. He does what he thinks. And you can get yourself in trouble that way, but there's also a lot of good qualities about a person like that. I really appreciate Peter, and also because of his very tight relationship with the Lord Jesus. I'm so thankful that we have some of his words to look at together. So now, we talked last week about how this letter is written to aliens and strangers, and that is a great fit for us. Because we are aliens and strangers on this planet. All you have to do is look at the newspaper. Multiple wars going in our world, even right here in our own country. So many issues of brokenness that we all know about, that we are facing. They touch even our lives here in the church. So we are definitely aliens and strangers down here. But as the Lord Jesus and Peter both, I believe, want us to clearly understand, God still wants us to thrive. He still wants us to walk closely with Him, to be growing just like wildfire, even along with the trials that we face. As a matter of fact, He uses the trials that we face to just teach us more and cause us to grow even more. He wants us to be so successful. Now, always keep in mind that God's definition of success has pretty much nothing to do with the world's definition of success. According to Him, you can thrive in any situation you find yourself in. I mean, think about the last letter that we went through, Paul's letter, Colossians. He was in prison when he wrote it, and yet he was still thriving. He was still building relationships. He was still building God's kingdom, encouraging people. The things that he wrote from prison, oh my goodness. It's just incredible to think about that. Just how we can walk in the Spirit, how we can know the living Lord of glory. So there he is, thriving in prison. So whatever situation you and I, what we're facing, God wants us to thrive in it. So today we're going to continue the journey. We're only going to get through, I think, one more verse. Okay? So our new verse is going to be verse 2. So let's read verses 1 and 2 together. And chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2. All right, here we go. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Well, Lord God in heaven, we just thank you for your word. And as we look into it today, we do pray that you'll be our teacher, Father. Help me to get out of the way, Lord. We just need to and want to hear from you. Would you be our teacher today, whatever the need may be? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. So I can't tell you how excited I am to be going through this chapter with you. This has long been one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I can remember when I was going through some time of real discouragement in my Christian journey when we lived up in Maryland. And I remember I came down here to Ashland, Virginia for a class on Chrysler products. And so I was in a hotel down here away from family, and the Lord gave me this chapter, especially verses 1 through 8, to just pick me back up and get me moving on my journey again. And it all begins right here with these two verses. If you have put your faith in Jesus as your personal Savior from sin, then you have been connected to your Creator in three powerful ways. You're connected to the God of glory. And that's the most important thing that can happen to you. Brothers and sisters, this is the way, this is the beginning of how you and I thrive here on this planet. If we lose our connection to Him, there is no replacement for that. It's by being connected to the Lord that we are going to thrive. Okay, so let's look at those three ways that we're connected to Him. First of all, it says, you are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. You're chosen. Now, New King James says you're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Okay, so chosen, you're elect. You know, however you understand that, it should lighten your step a little bit, and it should make you feel pretty special that you've been chosen by Him. But what exactly does it mean? You know, is this like, you know, when you're picking up basketball teams, you know, you got a pickup game, and your buddy's standing over here, and he's choosing players, and he's trying to make sure his team wins. And at the very end, he picks you, and you go, whew, I'm so glad He picked me instead of that guy. You know, is that what God's doing? Does His foreknowledge mean that He knows who's going to be the most beautiful and the most talented and the most gifted, and He's choosing His team so that He's going to have the winning team? Well, no. I don't think that's what it means at all. And, of course, the picture is even a lot more complicated than that. Because if you read your Bible, it's very clear in the Bible that not only does God choose you, but you're going to have to choose Him. You're going to have to respond to God's love. You're going to have to put your faith in Him. And it's a choice that you have to make. So it gets a little bit complicated. As one writer put it, and I have come to really agree with this guy, because just so you know, there is an enormous debate about this whole issue, about whether or not we are chosen or free. That's been going on for hundreds of years. I'm hoping I can solve that problem for you today. but here's the title of his book, Chosen But Free. And this is what I have come to agree with, that you and I are chosen but free. Now, many people ask, how in the world can that be possible? How can both of these things be true? And I believe it is possible because, as this verse describes, you are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So let me try to explain at least the best way I've come to understand this. It's a very complicated topic. But here's the way I understand it. God is an all-knowing, all-powerful being. And just because of who He is, we call Him, the word is omniscient. That means all-knowing. Fancy word for all-knowing. He knows all the universes that He could have created. And He knows all of the people that He could have fashioned. And He knows every situation that you will face. And He knows, just because of who He is and how incredibly intelligent He is, every decision that you would ever make. So out of all the worlds that God could create. He chose to create the world where Sam would believe in him. Put your name in there. If you're a Christian, if you've made that decision, if you've come to know him, he chose to create the world where Scott would believe in him, where AJ would believe in him. That's the world that he chose to create. And he knew that you would freely make that choice. Okay, so you are chosen by God, but you must also choose him. You must respond to his love and offer of forgiveness and salvation. Friends, that means that fatalism is not true. It is not true. You are not fated or forced by God into your destiny. Just because he knows ahead of time what you're going to do doesn't mean he's forcing you to do it. You know, some people will complain, well, that doesn't make any sense. What if I choose to do B then instead of A? Well, really, it's very simple. If you choose to do B, he knew you would have made that choice. He just knew it beforehand. You are actually free. You know this. Intuitively, you know this. For example, any one of you could choose right now. You could say, man, I'm tired of this. I'm out of here. And you could stand up and walk right out that back door. Now, I'm hoping no one's going to do that, obviously. But you know that you could. You know that you have the free will to do that. You could be driving home today and you could say, you know what? I am sick and tired of this road that I drive every single week. I'm going to go home a different way. And you could turn the wheel and off you go. You have that free will. The fact that God knows which choice you're going to make ahead of time does not force you to make it. People get in this argument all the time. I hear it all the time. You know, Judas, I'm so sorry for Judas because he had to betray the Lord. No, he didn't. He had free will. Just because God knew beforehand and told us what was going to happen doesn't mean that Judas had to do it. So fatalism, brothers and sisters, is not true. You do have a choice. God just knows. And he chose to create the world where you would find him. That's kind of exciting. Now listen, I don't really want to get too far deep in the weeds on this. If you want to talk more about it, I'd be happy to talk more about it. I'd be happy to refer you to some resources that have been helpful to me that you could read. I know for a long time I tried to come up with an illustration, you know, some picture out in the world that would help me just make sense of this and understand it, but I have not been able to. And I think the reason is there's nothing in our experience that equips us to understand a God who can know every free will choice that every person is going to make. We just don't understand a God that is that incredible. But that's what the Bible tells us about our God. I believe the people who come the closest to understanding this are people who know God personally. And so they believe that he is all-powerful, that he is all-knowing, that he is ever-present, and that he is also all-loving. The Bible tells us God doesn't want anyone to perish, and that he is reaching out to all people and desperately wants each and every person on this planet to find salvation. He is all-loving. But he knows the ones who are not going to make that choice. That's what it means. So anyhow, let's get back to the topic at hand. Okay, this first piece of information we're looking at, that you have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. This should really encourage you. This should really help you to thrive. God chose you. Right? This should encourage you on a tough day. This should actually encourage you every day. This is like you putting a giant sign on your refrigerator every morning. Honey, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. This is like you marrying your wife all over again, just to show her that she is your most prized possession. This is like you telling your son or your daughter, son, if I were to describe the most incredible, perfect description of a son that I could have, I'd be describing you. Because God chose you. Man, that should lift us up. It should just lift us up. He chose you and He wants to be connected to you. Go on to the second part here. He says, you're chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So the second thing you notice in this verse is that there's more than one part of the Trinity involved. Actually, the third one, we're not there yet, but we're going to find out the Son's involved too. So both the Father, the Spirit, and the Son are all involved in this. God is serious about this. There is no part of the Trinity that's not doing everything they can to bring you into a tight, real, personal relationship with your Creator. God's serious about it. I think one of the saddest things that I hear about, and I do occasionally hear about this, is someone will become a Christian. You know, maybe they'll go to a crusade, maybe they'll be in church, they'll maybe even walk the aisle and pray to ask Jesus into their life, but then they're just not serious. Nothing changes in their life. And before too long, they're like, yeah, well, that seems to work for some people. I hear about that every now and then. I think it is so sad that sometimes we're not all in. Because God is all in. He wants you to know Him, to daily walk with Him, to worship Him, to enjoy Him, and to trust Him. He wants to help you through every challenge you're facing in life. That's what He wants. And this phrase, it says, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is at work in your life to help you thrive, to help you be connected to Him. That's what that means. Anytime you hear that still small voice of the Spirit speaking into your life and you don't do it, you don't obey Him, you're short-circuiting the relationship that God wants to have with you. But anytime that you hear His voice and you say yes, you are taking leaps forward. Yeah, Lord, I hear you. That's not the right TV show for me. Click. Yeah, Lord, I hear you. My neighbor's really struggling over here. I'm going to go do thus and so for them. Yeah, Lord, I hear you. I'm going to start my day by just talking to you and reading for a few minutes from your book. Yeah, Lord, I'm listening. What was that one guy prayer? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. That's who we want to be. Every time we do that and listen to His Spirit, and, you know, as you get more in tune with Him, you get more and more sensitive to His Spirit, I think. You know, you get to hear that little voice. And so the key is, go along with Him. Do what He is leading you to do. I can remember so many times in my life when the Spirit has said some things to me. And unfortunately, I didn't always obey Him. But sometimes I did. And when I look back on my life, those are the things that changed my life. And I am so glad for the different ways that I followed him, because my life has ended up somewhere I never dreamed that it would end up. Let's go on to number three. I'll read it all again. Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Okay, so you're chosen to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Notice there are two things there. Well, first of all, this is the third person of the Trinity getting involved. Okay, so we've got the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, all wanting to connect you to him. And then he talks about obeying him and being sprinkled with his blood. Our first step is to obey him. And the first part of that is to believe in him. That's the very first step of obedience. Remember, there was this group of Jews and they were questioning Jesus. And they said, Lord, what must we do to work the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. That's our first step of obedience. Remember, the disciples were struggling. Jesus had just been telling them, I'm about to suffer and leave the planet. I'm going to go somewhere that you cannot come. His disciples were really struggling with this problem, with this issue. And Jesus came to him and he said, guys, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Yes, I've got to leave. Yes, you're not going to see me for a while. But believe in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come again and take you to be with me. Friends, this world is not our home. We're here on temporary assignment. So our first step in obeying Jesus Christ is to believe in him, and then it's a continual daily journey, just like we were talking about related to the Holy Spirit. It's a daily journey of learning how to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, how to abide in him, how to listen to his voice. I feel like it's almost the same thing as what we were just talking about with walking in the Spirit. We're listening to his voice and we're doing what he says, and that's how we grow. But that's a daily journey for the rest of my life. Then he goes on to say, and be sprinkled with his blood. Okay, if we do the first, the second one happens. We're sprinkled with his blood. Now, that's a little bit gross to some people. Gross, I mean. They don't like that idea. But it is his blood that washes away all sin. Right? You remember the old song, what can wash away my sin? Thank you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It is his sacrifice on that cross, his blood shed, that washes away our sin. And what can happen because of that? We're connected. We're brought back into a real, tight, genuine relationship with our Heavenly Father. All three parts of the Trinity are involved in this. I so meant to grab a picture and bring it up here. I forgot. I'll just describe it to you. If you want to see it, you can go down to the little room that we sometimes have meetings in downstairs. The picture is, I believe it's supposed to be Jesus, and you're under the water looking up, and he's reaching down into the water. I love this picture because that's this verse. God is reaching down into this broken planet, into your life, and he wants to grab your hand and take you right into his presence, connect you to him, like you've never dreamed possible. So you're chosen by God the Father. You're drawn by His Spirit, sanctified by His Spirit. You are cleansed by Jesus' blood. Let's go on and read the last part of that verse. He says, "May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure." All right, so Peter loves his peeps. He loves them. He has been working with these churches. He loves them. He wants them to thrive. I'm telling you, that's what this book is about. Peter wants believers to thrive. And so he sends them God's grace and God's peace. God's grace is whatever you need at the moment you need it. Right? It's His provision. It's His help. It's His wisdom. It's His strength. It's what you need. I also like the acrostic. I think I've mentioned several times, but grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay? God's riches are available to you because of what we just read in this verse. Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for you. So He's offering them God's grace and God's peace. God's peace. And friends, I am here to tell you, the stronger your relationship with your Heavenly Father, the more you listen to Him, the more you turn off the temptations, distractions of the world, and turn on the Spirit, the more peace you will have in your life. And if you lose your peace, the quicker you'll be able to get back to it. You know, you'll just be in the habit of going back to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I am so sorry." And He's going to just wash it away. Peace that surpasses understanding is what that one verse says in Philippians that God has to offer. So I just encourage you today, remember the Trinity in your life. Remember God loves you. God loves you. He personally chose you. Remember the Spirit's drawing you. Remember the Son loves you so much that He died on the cross for you. He wants you to choose Him. Please pray together with me. Lord in heaven, how we thank You for the love of God. Lord, I thank You that You're the one who said, "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness." Lord, what good news. We just thank You for it. We embrace You today, worship You today. Lord, I pray for myself and especially for my dear friends here. Lord, just join us to You. Fill us with faith. Lord, make us an encouragement to everyone that we are around this week because we're just full of You. We're just overflowing with the love of God, Lord. We thank You for hearing our prayers. In the beautiful name of Christ, we ask it. Amen.